Welcome to Voices of Indianapolis, where we explore the narratives of innovators, collaborators, and communicators shaping our city. I'm Jeff Edge, your host on this journey. Join us as we uncover their strengths, glean insights into their views of Indianapolis, and unravel the qualities that make them exemplary role models. Through candid conversations, we aim to illuminate their impactful projects, collaborations, and communication efforts that are propelling our community forward. Together, we'll celebrate these influencers, fostering inspiration and dialogue to forge a stronger, more united Indianapolis. Well, hello. This is a very special episode of Voices of Indianapolis. I'm Jeff Edge, your host. We are currently at the Purdue Polytechnic High School Lab Extension Community Fair. It's our first annual. And the students are looking for internships. They're looking for job shadow days. February 29th is our job shadow day where kids have to go and learn a craft and shadow somewhere, apprentice, if you will. We're looking to establish some internships. We're trying to figure out get kids interested, get some feedback on resumes and job interviews and just get that practice. So we have a bunch of local businesses coming by to talk to the kids. It's going on right now. So I'm going to try and pull people in. I might pull in some students to talk about this experience. I might pull in some businesses, some PPHS personnel, just to kind of go over what's going on right now. So enjoy. I'm here with Coach Lacey Beatty. Lacey, you want to tell us your job role and what you do?
Hi, my name is Lacey. I am the, I am the Director of Leadership Development and Support for the PPHS Network.
Okay.
And I supervise the micro school as the mentor advisor.
That's beautiful. You want to talk about what we got going on here? Because this was kind of your brainchild, right?
So this is really exciting for us today because it's our first, our pilot introduction into creating internships for our students. Our goal is to maximize student opportunity to engage with the community in interest-based learning experiences. So the best way to do that here is to really focus in on our community, the organizations that are around us in this kind of like economic downturn of employment.
Yeah.
We want to boost up our community as well as making sure that our students have the opportunity to learn industry skills. So providing unpaid interns
for
students, it's a win-win.
Silly question.
Okay.
When did PPHS first start using this term internship? When did that become, was that always in the framework?
Yes, it really has been. Traditionally, internships are reserved for students entering the 11th and 12th grade.
Sure.
After, you know, getting those basic skills and really trying to engage in what they want to do interest-based. The difference that the micro school brings is it allows students to really maximize that experience by allowing them to engage with the internships in the ninth grade. So they can get a better idea of the things that they want to do. So a lot more exploring.
I'm hoping that potential prospective parents are listening to this. You want to talk about what kind of student are we expecting in this program? And what are we looking for when we build this internship program? Where do you see this going?
Well, the internship program is really a program that's for any student who may not know what they want to do as a career, which
sure.
of course we that's what most students are. They don't know. They need that that opportunity to explore. But the really awesome thing about the micro school is that it allows students to accelerate their learning because they're
applying
it at their own own pace, and there's a lot of choice there. But it also provides the opportunity because there's no schedule, no set schedule.
Let me
say that there's no a network-wide schedule for students. They have the opportunity to engage with these internships,
okay,
get some opportunities, and still get their academics done. So a student that will be successful at the micro school or in internships are those students who have a desire to do so. Mm. There is no set type of student. A student who kind of knows what they want to do.
Okay.
And wants to explore and really see if this is what they want to do.
Sure.
Or a student who has absolutely no idea and just wants to explore. I think that this program really meets the needs for both.
That's awesome. So currently the students they've been spending all day going over their resumes. Did anybody ask you? Did they come up and say, will you just interview me for a minute?
Yes.
Yeah.
Several students have asked to do mock interviews, and that's part of the preparation. We want them to be comfortable with speaking to those potential employers. I've also been asked to give feedback on resumes as well.
I got a lot of Google Calendar invites today. Looking at one thing that I had in mind while I was going over the students' resumes is we keep talking about their skills, and the students have done a lot of work over the last few months with skill assessment. We've had Coach Nora come in and do strength finders, and just, it's been what we talked about this whole school year, really. What sort of strengths would you like to see? Let's pretend you're an internship provider, right? Okay. And you're offering this as an internship, right? Coming to the PPHS lab is its own internship, and you're interviewing prospective students. What do you want to see on their resume? When it says skills and experiences, you looking for something in particular? Or you said, yep, come do this internship. Is it problem solving? Is it creativity? Is it flexibility? Is it accountability?
I think that all of those things are good to have on their resumes. I think that there's maybe two things that I would say are the biggest things I want to see. I want to see students who are open to learn. So I want to see things that they've tried. So whereas in industry, they don't want to see a diversified resume. I think at this age, students should have a diversified resume, okay, have engaged in multiple things, multiple interests. I would also like to see opportunities for leadership. Opportunities for leadership.
Love it.
It looks like somebody got an internship.
All right. Somebody's making some money over there.
So I would say that's excitement.
Yeah.
That's excitement around what it is that they're doing. Like I said, diversified resume and anything that would give them the opportunity to lead or to be a leader in the things that they're interested in doing.
Next year's community fair, what do you want to see different?
I would love to see double the amount of students, double the amount of internship opportunities, mentor opportunities, and I want this community to really look at this school and the students here as the solution to some of the things going around in the community.
For anyone that heard all of this and is inspired or has more questions, can they contact you?
Absolutely. I can be contacted here at the school at my email, lbeatty@pphs.purdue.edu, or give me a call.
Okay. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I am so excited to have you. Will you say your name for the people and what you do and what brought you here?
Yeah. So my name is Imani Jones. I work for the Domestic Violence Network. So we basically are a domestic violence prevention and education network where we go into, we do like adult training programs. We also have community partners, so different businesses around the area basically partnering with us. We teach them, they talk to us about like the folks that they work with who may be experiencing domestic violence so that we can get more information.
Sure.
And I'm a part of our youth team. So basically what our youth team does is go into middle schools and high schools and talk about domestic violence, starting like when it starts, getting them before they actually start to experience that stuff on a larger scale. So teaching them about healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, Title IX, consent, and all things that are like relevant to that, answering their questions, giving them like good information and resources, so that they can, you know, be better folks and you know, prevent violence within their
absolutely
communities.
One of the things that I have learned a lot in the last year doing more volunteer work and working in the community is that you try and find the people who have specific needs and partner them with the people who are able to give that. So for example, on our last episode, I think we had second helpings. And I said, hey, do you need volunteers? No, we're actually pretty good on volunteers. We get a lot of volunteers. Yeah. We need resources and we need this. Yeah. Is there a need that you are looking to fill in the community right now? What do you need? Because you're able to give a lot. What do you need?
Right. I think what we're trying to do, especially on the U team, is expand a little bit more into community-based stuff. So I think we'll try to partner a little bit more with more grassroots organizations.
Yeah.
There's a couple of like bookstores and things like that that I'm knowledgeable of as an independent person that I would love to like, you know, have us engage with just so that we can actually be known, especially because our offices are on the north side, but we operate all over. So I think we're trying to get a little bit more into the middle of Indy and the south side as well, just to so we can actually be around and engage with our community a bit more. So,
yeah, I think awareness is just I think that's why we started this podcast in the first place, is there's so many good community partners out here, and there's so many people, just doing good. Yeah. And we got to highlight all those people so that they find each other, you know. Yeah. What are the best places to get involved or find you all?
Yeah. So our website is dvnconnect.org. We also are DVN Connect on, I believe, Facebook. We're also definitely on Instagram. I believe some other social medias, LinkedIn as well. So that's the best way to find us. Message us there. We have a great marketing person who's like into our social media a lot of the time. And we would also love like any businesses, if you work with folks, if you're even medical businesses, whatever it is, if you work with folks who may be experiencing domestic violence, you have a special lens on it, or you feel like your business could use the knowledge. We are here to do that. We're here to train so that prevention can actually happen. So
that sounds wonderful. I think I'd love to have you on the long form version of this podcast. Come and do the hour long interview.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. Can you tell us who you are and who you represent and what you do?
Sure. I am Ken Janata. I'm with Horner APG. So we're a local company that designs computers that are used in factories and vehicles.
How big is Horner Automation?
Automation part is about 100 people. So we have offices here in the U.S., in Ireland, India, Brazil.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a small international company.
What about not the automation part then? If you say 100 people in automation, where are all the other sub pockets?
The other part is like an industrial services company. They do motor repair. There's about 200 people throughout the Midwest that work in that division.
Okay. Ken, what's your day-to-day life like?
I'm the engineering manager, so I kind of organize the software and firmware and hardware design.
Oh my gosh! What's your background? How did you grow to a place like that? The kids love asking that question. By the way, they're always like, "Tell us your career trajectory," because they need to see the path.
I think it started off actually. My dad was in the industry, so he would bring home these computers similar from GE that would control factories when I was a kid, like in high school, and I would play with them. I ended up going to Purdue.
Okay, right on. Welcome.
Yes. So I got a degree in computer electrical engineering.
Okay.
Started as an intern at Horner 29 years ago. And I've been there ever since.
Get out of here. So you see the value of this internship program right here. Yeah. So I always bring up Dr. Rob Shoemaker at the zoo because he, you know, started his work at the zoo through an internship in high school and said, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. Well, did you have that similar up where you got into an internship at Horner Automation? I guess you already knew you were on the path, but
did
that lock in? Because how long have you been with Horner now?
29 years.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, and you never, yeah, you, you started the internship and said, yep, this is me.
There, yeah.
What makes Horner such a strong career for you?
It's the kind of innovation and flexibility. I saw how GE, you know, they would have one engineer that would do one little task, and they had 400 engineers, so they'd break it up. So it was very kind of boring to watch how they did things. And at Horner, it's much more innovative. We try new things. You know, we're more flexible. Things like
that. Is that what you, when I ask, what do you love most about your job? It's the flexibility.
The different technologies. I mean, you know, one day we're designing a computer that's, you know, controlling an oil pipeline.
That's
We've
cool.
We've done robotic lawnmowers, remote control skid steers. So,
Is it about external partnerships then with Horner where, hey, we got a job from Amazon for 6 months and now that's what we're focused on now. And then it shifts to GE or it shifts to some other company. We're like, all right, guys, we're on a completely different project. Now we're building something from scratch.
About 20% of our products are like that. We do general market products that are sold. But then our customers will come and say, hey, I've got this, your product's close, but I want to modify it this way.
Okay.
And that's what we do, about 20%.
I feel like your resume problem solving is probably a big skill, right? That's probably when I talk about what is your greatest skill, problem solving and creative problem solving?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's amazing. Where would you say your biggest accomplishment was in solving, like you solved, what was a problem that was so complex that you were so proud of yourself when you solved it? You're like, I can't believe I figured that out.
Probably the remote control skid steer. So we partnered with a company that uses a phone to control skid steers.
That's amazing.
And there was some technical, you know, they had gone to another company to try to get it working, and we took a different path and got it working, and it's now a successful product.
How did it go in there talking to some of the kids? Was there anything inspiring? Was there anything like, did you see the lights come on in a kid where they realized this is what might be for them?
Yeah, I think the connection of like, you know, one of the kids had a connection to the PC at his home, you know, seeing what, you know, it's a modification of that to be used in the real world.
Okay. Did you get to talk to Aiden?
I believe so.
Aiden might be that one kid that I'm like, please, Aiden, get in there. Go work for Horner, please. Sure. what are you guys looking for in terms of internships and things like that? What do you want students listening to this podcast to know?
We have all sorts of areas. So testing is a good area for people to start in. So we have to test our products either mechanically, so there's washing and dropping and electrically testing it. So that's a real good place for an intern to start and understand how it works. And then we just have, you know, helping with the mechanical engineers, electrical engineers.
Wow.
If they understand software, that's how I started as an intern. You know, I'd done software in high school and was able to put some of that to use.
Man, these kids are built for this kind of thing. I like that idea of creative problem solving, just going to a job where you're not doing the same thing every day and you have to be flexible and takes a lot of, I imagine it's very tough on your brain. It's a lot of heavy thinking. Ken, thank you so much for coming by. It was so great to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. Would you tell the fine folks listening your name and what you do and what brought you here?
Yeah, so my name is Rona Taylor. I am the lead coordinator for high school programs at Girls Inc. Indy.
Yes.
So I help to support our coordinators who facilitate programs at our high schools and at our center-based programs at the Girls Inc. building and at Edna Martin Christian Center Leadership and Legacy Campus.
What was the best conversation that you had with a student today?
I actually got to perform a miniature interview
with
one of the girls. She came up and she was talking about how she wanted to do an interview. And I was like, we could schedule something or we could just do one right now. And she's like, yeah, let's just do one right now. So we went and sat aside and did a little interview. And I was really impressed with how prepared she was. And, you know, I asked, tell me about yourself. And immediately she's just like, I do this and I'm this and I'm this and I'm this. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, you really know what you're doing.
What are skills that you think is often overlooked on a resume from a high school student? Because you got to look at a resume. Mm-hmm. Is there anything on there? You're starting to notice some patterns where, hey, we probably need more people to have this skill on their resume, and I'm not seeing it as much as I'd like.
Yeah. I would say maybe empathy. I noticed that on her resume specifically and on another girl's resume that I think sometimes maybe – it's a skill that's overlooked in early education. And it's something that maybe we need to be able to teach girls more. And it's something that we focus on a lot at Girls Inc. of building that empathy and respect for each other. Mm. And that, you know, the older that they get, if they're really wanting to work with people, that they need to know how to have empathy for other people and be able to really display that.
You worry me because I feel like I've been teaching empathy for 10 years and I'm like, am I getting nowhere with these children? That's we've done empathy like every day. And I taught fourth through eighth graders. Like, guys, we got to step up our, I don't know how to go even more into empathy, you know, but you're right. It is maybe the number one issue that we're just having as a society is we just need more empathy.
Yeah. Especially just in the post COVID world. I think that was really what made a big impact on maybe like elementary and middle schoolers now, where they missed out on seeing each other and getting that kind of teaching from people in person. They weren't able to socialize with each other for,
that's true, yeah,
you know, upwards of 2-3 years, and a lot of kids have transitioned to virtual learning. And while, you know, there are a lot of benefits to that, there's also that socialization aspect that they're missing out on. And so when you're not able to socialize with kids your age and have to work out any issues, then maybe that empathy piece kind of falls flat.
What other, I don't know if you're at liberty to say, so you don't have to, but when you talk about, you know, Girls Inc. Prioritizing building leaders of tomorrow. Empathy is one. What other skills do you think needs to be built at that? Like, what is the foundational level? Let me say that again. What's the foundational skills that you are instilling in young female leaders?
Yeah. One of the biggest pieces that we focus on in our high school programs is goal setting. So it's what we try to do right off the bat, of getting them to think of what are my short-term goals that I can accomplish while I'm in school right now, this semester, versus what are my midterm goals of what do I want to accomplish while I'm in high school generally, or the next couple of years. And then long-term, what do you envision for your life, and what do you want out of your life, and how are you going to be able to get there, and how can we support you in being able to accomplish that goal?
I do seem to notice in our conversations, so it's interesting to hear you. I kind of hear you talking about a tiered system almost of, hey, we're going to teach this at a younger level, teach this, and almost like phases. Is that what you feel is going on at Girls Inc., where, you know, guiding people through different phases of their life to establish different skills?
Yeah. The goal of Girls Inc., like our strategic plan, is to establish pathways from elementary programming into middle school, into high school. So we offer different kinds of programs from elementary, middle through high school. So that way that they're able to keep, like building on their learning. So we want to be able to get into IPS schools specifically.
Sure. I can help with that.
Yeah. And being at IPS schools that feed into each other, making sure that we are at middle schools where a lot of our elementary school kids are going to whenever they go into middle school, and making sure that we're in high schools where those middle schoolers are going to high school, so that they are able to continue to have access to Girls Inc. programming all throughout their education. And then we've launched an alumni program that serves girls up to age 24. So we are able to support them through their college career and up to 2 years into their career.
Wow. A question selfishly, I'm 36. What am I supposed to be doing? What would I be doing right now? What should I be on the lookout for, right?
In terms of?
Just, I guess, building leadership and building, you know, just what sort of skills should I be attacking right now? What sort of goal? You said goal setting, right? What should I be making? Is it too late for me? Am I done? Like, you're like, man, you should be getting ready for dying. Like, you should be getting ready for the grave. 36.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe one big thing that we want girls to understand that adults maybe also have struggles with is like financial literacy or media literacy.
Okay. Why you got to call me out like that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always learning. I'm almost 30 and I just opened a Roth IRA like a few months ago. I didn't know anything about it. I learned about it. And
am I supposed to have done that already? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
How can we pass on this knowledge that we learn as adults to the youth so that they feel more prepared? Because there's so many people our age who are like, oh, I've never heard of that. Yep. No one taught me how to build credit. No one taught me how to use social media responsibly.
And if Girls Inc. doesn't do that, you're relying on either your parents, because, you know, how else do you figure that out? Your parents or your friends. That's pretty much me at this point, where, oh yeah, well, I got a Roth IRA. oh, am I supposed to have that? You don't have that. And you bully each other and things like that. Well, we need systems in place to guide that sort of thing. Right. And I just appreciate that Girls Inc. is doing that.
Yeah. Especially because you don't always want the kids to be learning from each other because they might not always have the right information. They think that they know what's right. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. So
that's hot take. Parents don't always have that either.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to be able to give, you know, research-based curriculum to them so that it's, you know, very reputable and credible so that they are getting accurate information as much as possible.
Okay.
And then that they are able to pull other girls into our programming too. We always encourage them, you know, bring your friends so that they don't have to tell their friends, but their friends can come to us and then we can tell their friends.
Were you and I communicating about a book club?
I think.
You want to talk about, you all, Girls Inc. has book clubs going on, I think?
The alumni program has a book
club. Maybe that's it. I think somebody emailed me about starting a book club or doing a shadow day at a book club, maybe. Was that you?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. You want to start a book club? What book should young girls be reading right now?
Oh gosh, I don't know. There's so many, but I feel like getting involved maybe with local writers. I know that there are a few young women who are, you know, local to Indianapolis who are writing about their experiences. And so being able to like learn from people in their community who they can then look up to, because it's like, oh, they live in Indianapolis. They're from here. They built something here. And that's where I'm from. I can build something too.
You got some names? Are there female Indianapolis native authors I should be reaching out to?
I can look it up. I know something about a crown.
Oh my gosh. I need to reach out to people, get them on the podcast here.
I know.
What is the bookstore in Fountain Square where they have all sorts of activities and they have a lot of local authors there? What am I thinking of?
Indie Reads.
Yeah. Yeah. I could probably go down to Indie Reads. I think they have a whole section on Indianapolis female authors.
Oh, I bet they do. They have a lot of really cool programs going on there. Let me look.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I could always pause this.
I know her name and I know her face. Here it is. Her name is Leah Johnson. She wrote a book called You Should See Me in a Crown.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so that is, she is local to Indianapolis. She is a young adult. And she wrote it just back in 2022. So the story of how a girl who has always believed she's too black, too poor, and too awkward to shine in her small Midwestern town makes her dreams come true.
Nice.
So, yeah.
You got your list of top three or top five most inspirational female heroes? When you think of like most inspirational females, who's the top of your list?
I know. For me, one of them, honestly, is Jane Goodall.
Okay. Of course.
I studied her pretty extensively in college because I have a sociology anthropology degree. Mm. And I was really interested in anthropology and like human evolution and learning about all that. And so I read her books and we did papers about it and everything. And I was like, wow, I knew that she was cool, but I didn't know what all she did. And
I wanted to do that until I read her book. Cause I was like, it sounds violent. Like I'm going to go live with the chimps. Nah, you're not.
No. One of our participants really looks up to her too. She wants to be a primatologist. It's like her number one dream. And so we're like, okay, how can I support you to make that happen? She's amazing. And she loves him so much.
When I was little, I wanted to be a pilot because of Amelia Earhart. Mm-hmm. Amelia Earhart was my first hero. Just the aviator jacket. All that, man, that seemed like a really cool, really cool job.
One of my other people is Diane Nash.
I don't know Diane Nash. Okay.
She was a really big part of the civil rights movement, like worked alongside MLK Jr. and helped with the bus boycott. The bus boycott.
Montgomery bus boycott.
Yeah. So she led SNCC, which was an organization for people to be involved in these protesting to help to advance the civil rights movement. And she just her name's not really out there, but she really was like a huge leader in the whole movement. And so I went and saw her speak at my university a couple of years ago. And I just was like, oh my God, that's her. She's right there in front of me talking at my school. This is crazy. And it was amazing.
Hmm. How do you want anybody listening to this podcast to reach out to you if they're interested in learning more or coming and getting an internship or just doing more? Girls Inc. has a lot going on.
We do have a lot going on. Yeah, exactly. So we have a website, girlsincindie.org. You can go and learn about Young Women in Leadership, Eureka, our STEM program. You can learn more about summer camp. So we host a 4-week summer camp for girls who are age 6 to 11. And then we're going to be hosting a 1-week leadership camp for girls who are 13 to 15. I actually misspoke. The regular summer camp, that is for girls 6 to 12.
Yeah.
Leadership camp is for 13 to 15. And then we also host a 4-week summer camp for the Eureka participants as well. The Eureka participants, it's a little bit different where they get to do a summer camp. Plus they do monthly workshops throughout the school year. And that lasts all the way up until they are seniors in high school. They also get to participate in internships and dual credit for free, which is great.
Right on.
Yeah. So it's a very great opportunity to be able to get that STEM exposure, plus be getting like that career and college experience as well.
You got it. Everybody should do it. Come on by. Check out Girls Inc.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming by.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take a moment to thank our amazing sponsor, Paradigm Games, for this episode, your ultimate destination for tabletop gaming excitement. Conveniently located at 2479 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46208. But wait, that's not all, folks. Paradigm Games is not just your average game store. They are the proud hosts of the Wednesday Lorcana League Nights, where the action starts at 6:30 p.m. For just $10, you'll get a spot on the sheet and a booster pack to jump into the thrilling world of Lorcana. Plus, you'll be battling it out for monthly promos that'll leave you hungry for more. But wait, Paradigm Games has something special for all you Pokemon enthusiasts out there. Join them every Sunday from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. for Pokemon League. And the best part? It's completely free. Gather your best decks, trade cards, and meet fellow trainers in the ultimate showdown. So whether you're a board game fanatic or a Pokemon trainer, Paradigm Games is your go-to destination for gaming fun in Indianapolis. Support our sponsor because they support your passion.